I'll tell you who's in right now. A reporter and a storyteller for NFL Media. He is a Hall of Fame voter. He is the author of Junior Seau, The Life and Death of a Football Icon. He is a Peloton legend. He is an adjunct professor at San Diego State. Goes without saying, very good friend of ours, too. Jim Trotter is my guest. Jim, what's going on? How are you?
Romy, I think I'm a Peloton legend in my own mind, man.
No, you're not, dude. You're a legend in my mind as well, I know, because I spent a lot of time on that thing, so I know you are a legend. Jim, it's really good to have you on. I want to ask you, there's so much football to talk about, but something we have not talked about, academics. You are an adjunct professor at San Diego State. What has that experience been like so far?
It's been amazing. You know, I was approached by their new director, relatively new director, about doing it, and I had never taught before, and I thought that it was an opportunity to really have an impact on the next generation of sports journalists coming up and to kind of impart anything that I've learned that potentially could help them, you know, as they embark on this journey. And it's been fun. I tell them, you know, it's funny, after the first class, they were like, man, we're really excited that you're here. And my attitude was, I'm more excited to be here simply because I think sometimes when you do this for so long, I don't want to say you get on cruise control, but you can get away from the excitement of what got you into it. And so to be around these young people and to see the enthusiasm that they have, it sort of reinvigorates me.
100%. I absolutely understand what you're saying. One more thought about that before we move on. I mean, if being taught by you were not good enough, the students in your class were treated to a guest appearance from the legend himself, Raymond Ritter. Now, Jim, I've been hyping Ray on this show for as long as I can remember because he is just so good at what he does. What was it like having Ray in the house and having him talk to the students?
Amazing, to sum it up in one word. You know, what I did is that the first week of class, I asked each of the students to identify one person that they would want to come in and lecture about the business and what they can expect as they get in the business. And not surprisingly, they came up with a lot of broadcast folks, you know, who are on screen and that sort of thing. And me personally, I said, I want them to understand this job, not just from our perspective in terms of what we go through, but the perspective of the team and the players in terms of what they expect from the media and how to build relationships with those teams and players. And so obviously, as you just said, Ray is one of the all-time greats. I've known him from back when I used to cover the NBA, and he was an assistant with the Lakers and now being the senior VP of communications for the Warriors. And he came in and he just imparted, you know, his wisdom in terms of what he has seen from reporters over his time working with them and the qualities and traits that he believes can help make journalists successful in terms of doing their job on a day-to-day basis. So it was really fantastic. And, you know, we're indebted to him for giving his time coming in and talking to them.
Agreed. I'm so glad you brought him in. I love Ray. Ray is such a pro. He is one of the best to ever do it. I mean, literally a legend. We're talking to Jim Trotter. So, Jim, let's talk some football for a minute. You have a great piece up on NFL.com about the Dallas Cowboys defense and how they showed up in week two in that win over the Chargers. I mean, going into that, I mean, the defense has been maligned enough as it is, and they were banged up. What were your expectations for that defense that day?
I mean, truthfully, they weren't very high. And when you talk about a unit that was historically bad last year, a unit that gave up 31 in the season opener, a unit that is without both starting defensive ends, and not only that, but you don't find out until midweek that you're going to be without both defensive ends in terms of DeMarcus Lawrence breaking a foot. So now you've got to make a sudden switch and you take a rookie linebacker who is, I don't want to say struggling, but he's going through the process of learning to play linebacker in the NFL. And you say, we're going to put you a defensive end, you know, a position you haven't played since high school. And Micah Parsons goes out and just plays phenomenally. And so they're facing an offense that has a quarterback who was the offensive rookie of the year last year, a receiving core that's one of the deepest in the NFL. You know, a unit, an offense that is very highly regarded, and they allow that unit to drive to the Dallas 33-yard line or closer on each of its seven possessions, and yet they give up only one touchdown. I just thought it was a phenomenal performance by them and by Dan Quinn, their defensive coordinator, to get them all up and ready to play.
Me too. I did not see that coming. I never would have thought they could have played as well as they did, given who they are, what they have, and then what they were missing. Jim Trotter is joining us. Jim, you also have a piece up on Matthew Stafford, and, you know, Stafford's made a point that he wanted to play in games that matter. I'm curious, Jim, how do you think he's going to respond to the pressure, then, that comes with playing in big games week in and week out for a team that has Super Bowl aspirations?
I think he's going to be fine. You know, sometimes, Jim, these guys, I don't want to say we overlook, you know, their greatness or their ability when they play on bad teams. But I don't think Stafford has ever fully gotten the due of just how talented he really is. And I think the fact that his abilities are now married with, you know, Sean McVay's beautiful mind, if you will, when it comes to play design and play calling, I think it's phenomenal to watch these two. And I believe that they're only going to get better as the season goes on. We know that one of the reasons for bringing in Stafford is that the Rams wanted to be able to push the ball down the field more. They wanted more air yards as it relates to that. Well, I mean, he's tied for first in the league already with touchdown or with completions of 40 or more yards. So they're getting what they want from him. And the other thing, Jim, when you talk to teammates, you know, about Stafford's presence and what it means, you can see that he is like that rising tide that kind of lifts all emotions and expectations within that locker room. I mean, the way Jalen Ramsey spoke about him after week one was just, I don't want to say he was in awe, but you could tell that he was just so appreciative to have Stafford there and felt that he was going to go and help take them to where they want to go, saying that it was, you know, one of the best, it should go down as one of the best debuts in NFL history. That's why I'm fascinated by this game on Sunday. I think it's going to be a tremendous matchup. And for them to get to play a defense as talented as what Tampa has, it's going to be a chess match there between Todd Bowles and Sean McVay, and it's going to be fun to watch and see what happens.
I love Stafford. I love him in that offense. I love him making that move to Southern California. You mentioned the game itself, Jim. Jim Trotter, my guest. What about that matchup? Who do you like?
Man, it's so tough. Tampa's playing so well right now. If I'm put on the spot and have to choose one, I think I would go with Tampa right now from the standpoint that they have gone through the process of what the Rams are going through now in terms of an elite player quarterback coming in, learning a new system, and also adjustments on the defensive side of the ball, where now you have Raheem Morris calling that defense as opposed to Brandon Staley, who's now the head coach of the Chargers. Well, the Bucs have gone through all of that. So now they have the growing pains, if you will, are out of the way. And what we're seeing from them early on this season is that they're picking up right where they left off. You know, with Tom leading the league in touchdown passes right now, it's tied for the second most in NFL history over the first 2 weeks of a season. They're just playing at a phenomenal level in terms of efficiency and production right now. So I think that they are farther along than where the Rams are. But what's interesting about this game, Jim, is that the last two times there has been a preview of the NFC Championship game, meaning those clubs met during the regular season, the team that won in the regular season also won in the postseason in the NFC Championship game. So if we really think that this is a preview, potential preview of the NFC final, then history says the winner of this game could be positioning of itself well to advance to the Super Bowl.
So that in and of itself makes it a critical Week 3 matchup. I would love to refute the argument that you just made, but I can't. I'm trying to make an argument for the Rams. I'm going to keep trying to make an argument for them, but you're right. I mean, Tampa's already been through this. They're farther along. They've already endured and overcome what the Rams are dealing with right now, but still kind of a coin flip. Jim, before you go, I want to talk to you about something you and I have talked about in the past. Eric Bieniemy's name has come up in regards to the USC job. I've got a couple of questions about that, but why don't we start here? What is your sense as to his level of interest in that job? Because we know he wants a pro job. How open would he be to the USC job?
I think there's definite interest on the part if USC has interest in him. Look, Eric, you know, played high school ball in Southern California. He has ties to the area. He previously coached at UCLA. And look, USC is one of those marquee programs. You know, regardless of the struggles it may have had recently, it's still regarded as one of the blue blood programs. So I think there would definitely be interest on Eric's part if SC were to have that same interest. Having said that, Jim, look, the reality is it's shameful that he would have to even consider going to college. considering everything he has done at the NFL level. You know, he has earned an opportunity to have a shot to be a head coach in the NFL. His resume speaks for itself. The quality of his work speaks for itself. The way his players speak about him says that he is ready and deserves that opportunity. It's just unfortunate that we're at a point in the NFL where he is not getting that opportunity. And I'll say this to you too, Jim. I think Eric is a symptom of a much bigger problem when it comes to the NFL. Look, I like to say that he's the tree and we're missing the forest, because the NFL has an issue right now as it relates to the promotion of blacks into decision-making positions, not only on the field, but off the field. You know, you can look at the league office. Among the top dozen or so executives there, there are only two blacks, as I recall. And even when you look at our media news group, you know, we have a league where the player population is 70% black, and there isn't one black person involved in the decision-making process of how these men are covered on a daily basis. So this is not just an on-field problem in the NFL. It's something that has to be addressed off the field as well.
I think you're right. I agree with everything you just said. What about one more thought? How about Raheem Morris? I mean, I love what he has done since being a head coach back in the day. What about him? Is he going to get another shot?
I think he should, you know, particularly, I thought he should have been in line for the Atlanta job, considering how that club played after he took over last year. Raheem was one of those young guys who came in, and maybe he got his chance too early in terms of there was a lot to learn. He's a young guy, but he has grown and he has matured, and I think he is ready for that next opportunity. And I do believe that if the Rams are able to put together a run and, let's say, go to the Super Bowl, that he will be in the running for a head coaching job, as he should be. We know on average since 2000, seven head coaching positions become available each year, which is an indictment of the hiring process in and of itself. But that being said, if there's, let's say, seven openings this year, in my opinion, Raheem Morris definitely should be one of those guys who are included. And let me say this. One of the things that really bothers me right now is the media's role in all of this, because in the first 2 weeks, I have heard the national broadcasters who are doing the Cowboys games each say that Kellen Moore is going to be a head coach in the NFL next year. Not should be, but is going to be, okay? And so from my standpoint, you do not hear that when you see a broadcast of the Chiefs as it relates to Eric Bieniemy. You do not hear that when you watch a Tampa Bay broadcast of the Bucs, and they don't say that about Byron Leftwich, who is the offensive coordinator there. And that's why I think the media has to look at itself also in this process and say, what role are we playing and how are we contributing to what's going on right now?
Extremely well said. He is a reporter and a storyteller for NFL Media. He is a Hall of Fame voter. He is an author of Junior Seau, The Life and Death of a Football Icon. He is a professor at San Diego State now and a very, very good friend of ours. Jim, I appreciate you. Great to have you back. Always good to talk to you. Appreciate your thoughts and insight on all these things. And I know you and I will chop it up again soon, Jim.
I appreciate it as always, Roman.
You're the best. Jim Trotter, so good.